Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, a show by and for gamers of all types. We cover everything from retro gaming to pen and paper role playing and everything in between. So without further ado, here's your host, Scormus.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Pixels and Dice. As always, I'm your host, Scormus, and today I want to talk about video games. Now, we all have thought ourselves to know more than various developers, especially on games we really, really love. You see this a lot with people that play MMORPGs like I do, where they all think they know better than the developers. Well, I'm going to indulge a little bit in that, because I gotta say, I know what MMO players like. I've been following it for a while, and I think, overall, I know what would make the best game out there. The game that would be popular and everybody would love. It's just a matter of some game development company pulling their head out, you know, and actually making it happen. Now, would it be a lot of work? Yes, of course. Would it take a lot of money and development time? Absolutely. And would it be worth it? Well, you know, the way the MMO industry is right now, maybe. Possibly. Hard to say. So is it worth the risk? In my opinion, sure. Because what I'm going to tell you about is the perfect game. That's right, a game that literally 99% of the game-playing market would love. Now, of course, there's going to be people that would focus on their playstyle and they would think, oh, you know, mine's not getting enough love. But in my game, they would. Because their playstyle would be focused on just as much as everybody else. And I'm sure there are game development houses out there that say, we do that. We treat everyone equally. I mean, the folks that make WildStar, they used to make that boast, right? Every content update, somebody else got an update. But hey, you know, everyone in turn, you know, the solo players get it 1 month, the raiders the next month, the PvPers the next month, right? How's WildStar doing again? Oh, that's right, barely hanging on. Anyway, I digress. I do a lot of digressing, by the way. Just saying, if you haven't gotten that idea yet, it's kind of a thing. You gotta kind of be used to it. Love me for who I am. That's all I ask. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about this perfect game. You see, everybody likes something about it. Unless they're completely anti, you know, Luddites or whatever, you know, they're completely against technology. Everybody likes video games to some degree. Whether it's a mobile game, you know, playing Farmville on Facebook or something. Everybody likes something. And I feel that some ingenious game development house out there will eventually get it right. They're eventually going to build an MMORPG because it would have to be an MMORPG. That appeals to everyone. And here's how I think they should do it. First of all, like I said, it would have to be an MMORPG because, let's face it, everyone likes to be social. Everyone likes to have their own alone time, which you can do in an MMO, but they like the option to play with others, or to talk to others, or be in a social group like a guild. So whether it's just being able to chat with their friends while they play Facebook, various social, whether it's just that, or actually running raids with their guild or other people, or just PvPing against dozens of other people, they want that ability to have a massive multiplayer online experience. So the game, if it's truly to be perfect, has to be an MMO. An online first-person shooter is not going to appeal to everybody. An online mobile game is not going to appeal to everybody. It has to. The graphics, of course, would have to be, I won't say simple, but it has to be an engine that can play on damn near everything. Now, obviously, you're not going to get it to work on all systems. You're not going to be able to get it to play on a tablet or a phone and a computer all at the same time. But, oh, wait, maybe you could. I mean, look at Hearthstone. You can play Hearthstone on your phone. You can play it on your tablet. You can play it on your computer. Is it an MMO? No. But it shows that with the right engine and with the right graphics, you can make it work anywhere. And we all know that there are still people playing Ultima Online, so a top-down MMO could still work. So, yeah, why not? Let's just say that you gotta have good graphics, catchy graphics, colorful graphics, but an engine that will work on a variety of different systems, from phone to tablet. Maybe you develop it around Android and iOS, so that it can be expanded out to PC. You're going to get the most people that way. And maybe have it to where on the PC or even console, the added graphical power of those machines allow you to crank up the graphics a little more. Why not? And maybe even on some high-end tablets that have like the Tegra chip in them and whatnot, that can handle a little bit better, more intensive graphics. Maybe you can crank it up there too. So now we're looking at an MMO developed around phones and tablets that also can be played on PC and Mac. There you go. Now you've got the vast majority of players willing, who are interested. They could play it on whatever type of device they want to play it on. Next thing you need to know is that this game would have to be a sandbox game, but not your usual sandbox game. This is going to have to be a game where you can wander far and wide, whether it's across universes or galaxies or whatever, along the lines of No Man's Sky. Why do you think that game was so popular? Because it offered so many opportunities for adventure and exploring, and they totally screwed the pooch on that. But it was initially very popular because they had been promised the ability to just go anywhere and do anything. Be a trader, be a raider, do whatever, be an explorer. And then you couldn't do anything but explore on each planet being roughly the same except for different derpy monsters and different colored rocks. But hey, I digress. We're not here to talk about No Man's Sky, although I'm sure it will come back up again later. Anyway, so yeah, it's got to be a sandbox. But in being a sandbox, it has to be a PvE sandbox. And this is real important. Most sandboxes are player versus player focused. And I can understand why, because the people playing those games who are like into EVE Online and whatnot, they're all, well, you know, it's unrealistic that I can't just kill anyone I want to. So I should be able to kill any other player out there if I choose to, which they almost always do. And then it becomes just a slag fest, and new players especially, or those that just want to be left alone to go grind or do crafting or collect materials or do quests or whatever, they end up getting killed all the time and they quit. So obviously that's way too much of a heavy focus on PvP. So here's how I would solve that problem. The game in itself would be PvE only. All the servers would be PvE, with a couple exceptions. If you wanted to do PvP, We'd have a server for that. One. And if it got overcrowded, maybe two. Where you can go and slag people to your heart's content. Otherwise, if you're on the PvE server and you're really interested in doing some PvP, that's why we'd have cross-server gameplay. You could flag yourself for PvP, and your character would be transported temporarily to the PvP server, where you could go kill people to your heart's content off in that little spot. And then when you unflagged, your character comes back to your normal server where you can do your questing and whatever. And the other people just wanting to play the game, just wanting to have their Farmville fix, you know, and work on their housing or do their crafting or go run around and do exploring or whatever, they would all be left the fuck alone. And they would never have to see PvP. As far as they were concerned, it didn't even exist. The only things you could fight were monsters. And that would be perfect. Because that way, the sociopaths who love to PvP all the time could. They could make a character permanently on that PvP server and do what they wanted. Or if they wanted to have a mix of both, they make a PvE character who flags for PvP and immediately transfers temporarily over to that PvP server. And if they chose then to permanently move that character, they could. But you can always make a character on the regular servers. And if you tried to do something to attack another player, which I simply would just make impossible, but if for some reason you found a glitch that made that happen, and you somehow were able to harm another player, if that player complained, I would have your character, who did the glitching, transferred permanently to the PvP server. Yep, you get to go to PvP jail because you wanted it so bad. Oh, too bad, that was your raiding character? Oh, I'm sorry, shouldn't have tried to pick a fight. You know, there's got to be justice in this world, right? Anyway, speaking of worlds, this world would have to be a fantasy game. Even if it has science fiction, what sells best for gaming? Look at all the video games out there. What genre is the most popular? Far and away, it's fantasy. Always fantasy. Sure, you'll have some games that have science fiction elements, but they're always focused more on fantasy. Or you'll have games that may sell themselves as being, oh, we're a science fiction game, yeah. Case in point, WildStar. Really? Is WildStar really a science fiction game, though? Sure, it's got space travel. Sure, it's got ray guns and technology and whatnot, but it also has a lot of magic and magic-like abilities, and when it comes right down to it, it's fantasy. It's science fantasy, to be sure, but it's still fantasy. We're not talking EVE Online here. Oh, and how's EVE Online doing right now? Wait, didn't they just go free-to-play? Yeah. I wouldn't say they're barely hanging on, but they're not exactly World of Warcraft, are they? Oh, wait, World of Warcraft. Biggest Western MMO out there, right? Fantasy. What's the next biggest? Final Fantasy 14. Am I seeing a trend? What's next biggest? Well, I don't remember off the top of my head. But probably Star Wars The Old Republic, if I had to guess. And while that's sci-fi, it's also got Jedi. And if you can't hear the air quotes there, then you're not listening well enough. And what are Jedi? Fantasy, clearly. I'm sorry. The Force? Really? the Force has, even though the prequel movies tried to say, oh, midichlorians, and yeah, there's a scientific, no, there's no scientific basis behind the Force. Come on, it's magic. Let's be honest. It's magic. And that automatically makes Star Wars a fantasy. Even if you don't get into the fan fiction about it, I've seen some real crazy stuff done with the fanfics. Yeah. Almost always on the slave market. Yeah. Let's just say it broke my little brain. Anyway, fan fiction aside, nobody wants to think of what Chewie did to Yoda. Some things are just wrong. Anyway, moving on. It would have to be a fantasy game, clearly, if you want to appeal to the most people. But it would also have to have one thing that seems to be a problem for most MMO creators, to be honest. They just don't seem to get it. They don't seem to want to put any effort towards doing this. And, well, being a sandbox, it has to pretty much happen, though, because they wouldn't be able to keep up with the amount of content players would demand. They would have to have players creating their own content. Yes, there would have to be a robust system for player-made content. And I'm just not talking about, oh, you know, players hiring other players to go do this mission, or players creating their own modules like you see in Star Trek Online or Neverwinter, or at least you used to see in Neverwinter, you know? Not talking about that, no. Although, to some degree, yes. I'm talking about the ability to create your own dungeons. Create whole new realities, persistent worlds within this system. They would be considered alternate dimensions, alternate realities to the main game. But give players, if they want to put in the time and effort, give them the ability to create, to recreate your own whole world for this MMO. Let them go as big as they want. And if that meant additional resources, a whole server rack dedicated to one persistent world that a player created, fine. That should be perfectly acceptable in this system, because that's something that the game company doesn't have to support. Yeah, they've got to keep the servers up and rebooted if necessary and things like that, but the content would be all on that player or group of players who created it. Let them monitor the growth, the needs of the people playing there. Let them move back and forth from that alternate world to the main world and play there only when they want to. But it's something that the company itself doesn't have to worry about, as a general rule. Unless, of course, they were making it to where it was too easy to level, but I'll talk about how that's not even an issue. Or, oh, it's too easy to get this this super powerful content and gear. No, wait, no, because I'll get to that in a second. You see, that wouldn't even be a possibility in my game, because as we saw with World of Warcraft Legion, you can have a questing system that adapts to the level of the player. As we see in Legion, other than the first few starting quests, which are like level 100 or whatever level, you know, I don't remember what level, but they're about level 100, 101, 102. All the other quests afterwards are -1. Basically, if I jump in at level 106 and start doing a quest, it becomes 106th level. And if I go up a level, now it's 107th level. It will give me commensurate rewards for that level. And so if I'm in a quote-unquote low-level zone playing and I run into a high-level character, we could be doing the same quest and getting the same commensurate level of difficulty, but they'll get a level 50 reward. Let's say they're level 50, and I would get a level 2 reward if I were level 2. But we did the same quest, essentially together. But the scale of the monsters or things we're fighting or whatever would be scaled to us. I wouldn't see a difference. He wouldn't see. But the system, and that's probably the most complicated part of this whole working, is making that work. But I'm telling you, since Blizzard has already made it happen, there's no reason it can't happen here. The system already exists, but the gear would have to scale and would have to be so that everybody could get the same gear, whether you're a solo player, group player, or a raider. PvP players don't matter because they're off on their own server. They would still get the same gear, but by getting it through their own, you know, killing other people, they could also do the PvE content on their PvP server and get gear, but there wouldn't be gear specifically for PvP other than stealing other people's stuff. Because sociopaths. Anyway, if you haven't guessed my opinion on PvP, guess what? Not a fan. Anyway, used to be, but that's neither here nor there. I digress. The whole point of all this is that regardless of your playstyle, you should be able to get the best rewards in the game. Now, I know raiders won't like that, but raiders would get gear that gives bonuses for raiding. People that do content for group content like dungeons would get gear from that content that gives them bonuses for playing in a group, not in a raid, not solo. And if you're solo, if you're like crafting or whatever, you should be able to make gear that's equal to those other things, that other gear from groups and raids, stat-wise, but only gives bonuses to you. And if you're in a group, it doesn't give bonuses to that. So solo gear would be great starter gear for people doing groups, and group gear would be great starter gear for people doing raids, but it would still focus people towards doing all of the content, even if what they're looking for in doing groups or raids is side grades. It's still important side grades because the bonuses are important for continuing to do that content. If you wanted to continue doing raids, you would need to have gear that gives bonuses to the whole raid, as opposed to stuff that only helps your group. That would be a step to get towards getting your... And then when they come out with a new raid, they would have a new set of gear to attain, and crafting would get gear that you could attain. There, you'd have new crafting recipes to go find and learn and all that. And group gear, maybe they would get a new group content that gets a next tier of group gear, right? It's doable. That's going to be the most difficult for most game developers, saying, oh, we got to keep up with the same gear. No, you don't. You make the gear for the raid stuff, and then you color it differently for the group stuff, and you color it differently again for the solo players, for the crafters. And there you go. It's just different colors, but it looks the same. That way you could look at somebody and go, hey, that person's wearing their solo crafted gear. They might be able to, you know, do groups, but I don't want them in my raid. So right there, you don't even have to ask people, hey, you know, do you have the proper gear for this? Well, what color is your gear? Is it purple? Okay, you can go on the raid. Is it red? You can do the group stuff. Is it blue? Ah, you're good for solo stuff. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But the gear itself would be roughly the same. And the reason I would do that is for PvP. Because in PvP, none of those bonuses would matter. Not for the rating, not for the grouping. It would all be effectively the same power as the solo crafted gear. It would only give bonuses to you as a player. And so everyone would be on the same level of gear right from the start, making it fair for everybody doing the PvP content. What a shock! Fairness in PvP? Who would have thunk it? Now suddenly the PvP players don't have to freak out about, how do we get our gear? We're denied getting new gear. No, no, you just got to keep up on your crafting and you're good to go, dude. Anyway, point is, these are my ideas on what would make the best game for everybody. The perfect game. It's an MMO that would work for pretty much everybody. And unless you're into PvP, but even then, there's bonuses for you. And, oh, sure, it'd have to have a great story, and it would have to have support for role players and yada, 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 but I think that all goes without saying, really, because most game developers should, if they're making an MMO. RPG, you would think that they would put RP in their game and actually support the RP community? Just a thought. Anyway, I'm Scormus and generic catchphrase ending.